You may be seated. I don't see Doyle. So our special music must be Under the Weather. He's singing elsewhere. Camilla, it's good to see you as well. I missed you this morning when we greeted all the rest of the family. God bless you. Once again, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, looking at the six aspects of the believer's salvation. Salvation means to be delivered from. We are rescued from perishing. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Salvation means to be delivered from the penalty of sin, which is death. Death is separation. Separation from God. Eternal separation from God. That's spiritual death. When we're separated from God eternally, that means we're going to still be alive and spending that eternity where God is not. That is in the lake of fire, a place that God prepared for the devil and his angels and gave man every opportunity and every chance to be rescued and saved from that. But some people choose to reject God's love, to reject his offer of salvation, and to spend eternity in heaven. But you and I who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have trusted in him for salvation, we have experienced new life being given to us. We have been quickened. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's being saved from sin. We were walking in times past the way the world's going, according to the course of the world, same direction the world's going, according to the prince of the power of the air, the direction that the devil, Satan, would want us to go. But God quickened us. He delivered us. He saved us from that. He also saved us not only from sin, but he saved us by his love. We looked at this last week, but God, or the week before, last week we had Brother Leffler with us. The week before, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. God's mercy is rich and his love is great. Oh, the depths of the love of God. Read a story this week about a Norwegian explorer many, many years ago by the name of Nansen, whose assignment was to do scientific experiments and studies of the Arctic Ocean. And he took a ship and a crew up to the Arctic Ocean. And the Arctic Ocean is very, very deep. It has some of the deepest places of any ocean in the world. And some of those places are so, so deep that nobody really knows how deep they are. The Norwegian explorer Nansen was trying to discover how deep this one spot in the Arctic Ocean was. And so he had a 1,000-meter long cord with a plumb bob, a very heavy plumb bob on the end of that, and he let it down. And on the first day of this exploration, when they found this deep hole and came to the end of the cord, and there was still, it still hadn't touched bottom. So he wrote in his journal, "It's further than this. It's deeper than this." And so the next day he put another 1,000 meters on the cord and let it down all the way and still hadn't touched bottom. And so he wrote in his journal, "It's still deeper than this." And the third day he put another 1,000 meters of cord on the plumb bob and let it down and it still hadn't touched bottom. That's the way God's love is. It's still deeper than this. And so, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. God loved you and I so much, he didn't want us to perish. He didn't want any one of us to spend eternity in hell. So he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, whom he knew would suffer intensely and incredibly more than we could even imagine, and die on an old rugged cross, it's a cursed person who dies on a tree, the Bible says in the Old Testament. He took the curse of death and died in my place, in your place, so that we could be delivered or rescued, saved from sin. We are also saved into life. We're looking at verse 5 today. "Even when we were dead in sins. Now, in sins indicates that we were dead spiritually because of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Even when we were dead in sins, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved through faith. That goes along with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If you back up about three or four pages in your Bible, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We are quickened together with Christ. And then he adds, by grace are ye saved. Grace explains the depth of the riches of God's love for us. Three things here that we want to look at this morning. The greatest need of every spiritually dead person. That seems obvious to us, but we're going to talk about it for just a moment. But the greatest power that's available to every spiritually dead person, some people who aren't saved, don't realize how much power God has available to him and what he can do. You know, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And the greatest change that can happen to a spiritually dead person, the greatest change, being quickened, being made alive again, is just the beginning of being changed into the glory of God through the power of salvation. The greatest need of every spiritually dead person is life. Imagine for a moment you come upon a terrible automobile accident. Several vehicles involved. There's victims that have been injured, some minor injuries, some moderate injuries, some very serious injuries. And you have some victims when you arrive on the scene and you see people laying on the ground. I've been told that one of the first signs of life is movement. If you see a person that's up walking around and he has his hand on his head and his head's bleeding, you're probably not going to administer CPR to him. There's signs of life there. He's moving around. But if you have a person that's laying there on the ground and he's still and his eyes maybe are closed and you don't know, is he dead or is he alive? And so you check for a pulse. Is his heart beating? You listen for breath. Is he breathing? And if you come upon this scene and you find victims that are very seriously injured and there's no sign of life and they're not breathing and there's no pulse, what are you going to do? You say, well, too late for that one, and walk away? No, you're going to do everything you can to try to bring him back to life again, to give him life again. You're going to start CPR. You're going to start chest compressions. If you can't, you're going to try to find somebody who knows what they're doing who can, right? You're going to try to give him life again. That's what God has done for us. We were dead. Spiritually dead. There was no movement spiritually. There was nothing we could do that would be pleasing to God, that we couldn't offer service to God. We couldn't be his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to good works. We are spiritually dead. The greatest need of a spiritually dead person is to be made alive again. And by the amazing, miraculous power of God, it's possible. It's possible to be made alive again, even when you're spiritually dead, because all of us were spiritually dead before we came to Christ. But God, it says in our verse today, in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, zoapoieo, He made us alive again. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of Christ have made me free from the law of sin and death." The spiritual law says if I'm spiritually dead, there's nothing I can do to make myself alive again, but God, in His great mercy and love, hath quickened us. He can make us alive again. The greatest need of every person is to be made alive again so that we do not spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. The Bible makes it clear what the danger is. The Bible makes it clear that we must come to Christ. Through faith, we must be saved. If we do not get saved, then we stand before God as our judge, and we are condemned already because we have not believed on the name of the Son of God. The greatest need of every spiritually dead person is to be made alive again. The greatest power to do that, it's a wonderful thing. The greatest power available to every spiritually dead person is the same power that God used to raise His own Son from physical death. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. He was buried, but what? The third day, He rose. He raised again from the dead. Again, we've looked at this before, but I want to go back to it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 talks about that power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us for who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, the power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." In other words, we can't even begin to imagine how much power is involved here. We can't even begin to fathom how powerful God is. When it comes, when it comes to raising those who are spiritually dead to life, God has all the power that is necessary to do that. That power raises us from the spiritual death, the same power that raised Christ physically from the dead. So we have the power of God, number one, that raises us from spiritual death. We're going to look at four aspects of this power this morning. Because if God can raise His own Son from the dead physically, then the fact is there is no one on earth, absolutely no one, that He cannot raise from the dead spiritually. Even the worst of sinners can be made alive again by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13. Whosoever, there's no one in this room who could not be saved. Does not matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how terribly you've sinned. The worst of sinners can be raised from the dead spiritually. God's power can do that. Not only do we have this power of God that raises us from the spiritual dead, but it raises us out of sin's grasp or grip. It releases us from the bondage of sin. The power of God, the same power that raises us from the dead spiritually and makes us alive, also raises us out of sin. Romans 6, 1 through 6. Excuse me. Got that tickle again. Romans 6, 1 through 6. You might want to turn there. These are very important verses that we have looked at many times. It's It's one of those passages that I've realized the more often you look at, the more often you look at this passage of Scripture, the more relevant it seems to become to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. And what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or placed into Jesus Christ were placed into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Here, listen to this verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Now, what do you do when someone dies physically? What do we do with the body? We plant it. We bury it, right? Spiritually, we have been planted, we have been buried in death with Jesus Christ. Because when he died, he took not only the penalty of our sin, but he took the power of our sin away. And it was left in the ground. It was left buried. When he rose again in the power of resurrection, he raised with all power, exceeding power, to give us victory over those things which keep us bound to the earth and bound to our sinful nature. He took that sin nature and gave us victory over it in Christ Jesus. And that's why we read it. That's why we read Galatians 2:20. I am crucified. I am dead. I am buried with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Even as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. So, the power of God, the power of God not only raises us from spiritual death, but it raises us out of sin's grasp, out of the grip of sin. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. It bringeth forth much life. That word fruit means life. Folks, we cannot produce fruit as a spiritual plant, as a spiritual vine that's connected to the branch, John 15. We cannot produce fruit unless we have life. Back when we first built a little house there in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, one of the first things that we wanted to do was plant some fruit trees around the house. So we planted a couple cherry trees and a couple peach trees. And I think we tried to plant an apple tree that never grew, but those peach trees and those cherry trees, every year there would be dead branches. Now, most of the tree would still be alive, but there would be dead branches sticking here and there in the trees. I don't know why that happens, but it does. You can't expect to find peaches and cherries on a dead branch. It's just not going to happen. So you go and you cut those dead branches out so the live branches have more room to grow. We cannot produce spiritual fruit until we've been made alive again through Jesus Christ. If you are a dead branch, you need the power of resurrection to make you alive again, to quicken you. The power of God also unites us together with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, and when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ, with Christ. In verse 6, it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the together. We saw that also back in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be together in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old man is crucified with him. And then the fourth thing, first of all, the power of God raises us from spiritual death. Number two, the power of God raises us from sin's grasp. Number three, the power of God unites us together with Christ. And number four, the power of God energizes us to live the Christian life. All of this has to do with being quickened, being made alive again in Christ Jesus. This is what God has done for us. This is what God has done for the believer. This is what God has done for you the moment you put your faith and trust in Him. We need to be made alive again so we have this exceeding power available to us to perform all of these things that we're talking about. It energizes us to live the Christian life. The same power that raises us from the dead spiritually gives us the energy, gives us the ability to live the Christian life. Again, in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We are alive from the dead, so we need to act like it. We need to live like it. The greatest power that a spiritually dead person needs is available. And then finally, the greatest change that can happen to a spiritually dead person. That brings us back to this phrase, together with Christ, again, just for a moment. When we become Christians, we're no longer alienated. We're no longer separated from God. The Bible, we've looked at this before, the Bible makes it very clear that if we are not saved, if we do not have Jesus Christ in our heart, then we are aliens. We are separated from God. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. Flip the page there. Ephesians 4, 18. It says, having the understanding darkened, this is describing unbelievers, those who are not saved. Their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, or the blindness, the spiritual blindness, because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the blindness of their heart. When we become Christians, we are no longer alienated from the life of God. Ephesians 2:12 says, ye were without Christ and without God in the world. Christians, let me ask you a question. Do you know people in this world today who are without Christ and without God in this world? Sure you do. All of us have relatives and friends who are without Christ and without God in this world. Do you pray for them? Do you get on your knees and intercede and ask God to have mercy on their souls, to open their eyes, to bring spiritual light to them so that they can be saved? Do you pray fervently for these people who are destined to spend eternity separated from God? Do you have a burden in your heart for these people whose life is hanging in the balances, who may spend eternity in a lake of fire? Do you realize the danger that they are in? This is why when we were quickened, there is such a change that has come into our lives. Not only do we rejoice and are happy that we are born again, that we are together with Christ, and we're going to spend eternity in heaven. My soul is secure in His hand. I don't have to worry about hell. I don't have to worry about the lake of fire. I can just enjoy knowing I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But what about what about my friends? What about my relatives who are not saved, who are not ready to go to heaven? When we become Christians, we are reconciled to God. We who have been alienated and strangers are brought back together again with Christ. That word katalasso, reconciled, means to be changed, to make a difference in. The idea is that when you come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior, your relationship with God changes. You're no longer separated from Him. You're no longer away from Him, but you are together with Christ. You are brought into a right relationship with Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." He has changed your relationship. He's brought you into a right relationship. When we became Christians, we were placed in Christ Jesus, and Christ is in us. Jesus was talking about that day when we would receive the Holy Spirit, which has happened since Pentecost, since the church began. We receive the Holy Spirit. He is not only with us, but He is in us. He is living in us. And He says, "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye are in me, and I in you." You didn't have that relationship before you got saved. You were separated from God, alienated. You were dead, spiritually dead. But God, in His great love, and because of His great mercy, hath quickened those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So when we turn to Christ for salvation, number one, we are saved from sin. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Number two, we are saved by love. It's an act of God's immense, oh, the depth of the love of Jesus. We are saved into life. We are made alive again. Now let me ask you a question this morning in closing. I'm going to cut this short. I just don't have the voice this morning to carry on. Are you alive today? I'm not saying do we need to call 911. Are you spiritually alive? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Some people, you know, you can look at some people and you can tell whether they're alive just by looking at them. Number one sign of life is there's movement. You know, people that are up walking around, you say, yeah, he's alive. There may be someone laying there unconscious and you don't know until you examine a little bit further. Is there a pulse? Are they breathing? Spiritually dead people, it's hard to tell sometimes the difference. And that's a shame to those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we're living our life in such a way that people can't look at us and tell whether we're spiritually alive or dead. There's some Christians who are just not doing anything for Christ. You look at their face and you look at the expression and you don't know. Some people, you know, that you just can't tell. You need to be yielded to Jesus Christ. You need to be surrendered to Him and allow His life to flow through you. Again, the Bible says we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I heard this week again a statistic. I believe it was Brother Leffler last week who brought out that statistic I've heard too many times, that 99% of all Christians never lead another soul to Christ. Can't tell whether they're alive or dead. Is there any fruit? Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." Is there love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control? Is there any of that in a person's life? You can look at some people who say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm on my way to heaven." And there's no sign. There's no indication. Let me ask you again, are you alive? Do you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ? Can you point to a day where you said, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and separated from God. Please forgive me and save me." And you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and He lives forevermore and He will save you. Do you know that? Have you called upon Him? Have you asked Him to save you and forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and place you into the body of Christ? Have you asked Him to make you alive again through the power of His resurrection? Perhaps there's someone here today who needs to be born again. That's one of the phrases, one of the terms that the Bible uses to express salvation, being born again. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3, says, "A man must be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven." There's a little spiritual song that goes like this: "Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again." Are you born again? Father, we pray today that You will use this message and the words of Scripture to help us realize the power that's available to those who are spiritually dead. The power not only to make us alive and give us new birth, that we might be born again, but then there's the power of God to deliver us from the grasp of sin and Satan. There's the power of God to place us into a position where we are no longer aliens and separated from God, but we are Your children, adopted into Your family. And then there's the energizing Spirit of God that gives us the ability to live and yield ourselves unto God as instruments of righteousness. So, Lord, I pray that if there's someone, I pray, Lord, for those here today who do not know Christ as their Savior, that they would call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They would say, "Oh God, the Holy Spirit just convicts me this morning and tells me that there's no sign of spiritual life in me because I've really never been born again." Lord, I pray that You would work in hearts and do what only You can do this morning. Help us who are saved to realize the importance of living our lives in such a way that Jesus Christ can shine through us, and the importance of being on our knees, Lord, praying for those that are lost, those who are without Christ and without God in this world. Lord, I pray that we would be serious about reaching them for Christ. Lord, I ask today that You would glorify Yourself through this time together as we worship You, as we open Your Word, that Your Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that You would use Your Word to bring conviction of sin in our lives, that we might confess that sin. and be cleaned through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.